Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We talk about cleaning up Albany. This bill is actually going to do it. It is unprecedented disclosure.
I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. Governor Andrew Cuomo there and the legislative leaders in Albany went on TV yesterday announcing what they call historic ethics reform. But is it really going to change the scandal-prone capital? For the first time, lawmakers would be required to reveal how much they earn on the side as lawyers and consultants, who their clients are. That might shine some light on potential conflicts of interests. Good government groups say something's better than nothing. It's possible that the fine print might show that this reform doesn't really have teeth. Let's hear what's in this ethics reform and the deal and what potential it has for changing things in Albany. Ken Lovett, the Albany Bureau Chief of the Daily News, is here. Welcome back to WNYC, Ken.
Oh, it's good to be back. I'll tell you something, too. It's nice for the first time in about 4 years to come on and, you know, talk about ethics in a good way as opposed to yet another scandal. This one's out of Washington, not Albany, for a change.
Yeah, well, you're a minute away. You're 1 minute past from the scandal part. Yeah, we already hit that in a big way. So, you know, there's the governor talking. He said we played two sentences, and I think both could be true, and yet it could not add up to a total truth. One sentence was, this bill is actually going to clean up Albany. And the second one, it is unprecedented disclosure. Could you talk about both parts of what's in the bill?
Sure. First of all, no bill is going to clean up Albany, so to speak. What you need, and the governor has recognized this in the past when he was the attorney general, you can have all the disclosure requirements you want, and you can have all the laws on the books, but if what you need are ethical people. And if someone is going to commit a crime or do something unethical, they're going to do it regardless of the laws. However, this certainly is a big step forward from what we've seen. As far as disclosure, how it's worked in Albany for so many years is a big part of the legislature, which is considered part-time, have outside employment. A lot of them are lawyers. And they file every year disclosure forms, ethics filings. The problem is we've never been able to say what their outside income is because that stuff has been redacted. It's been whited out when released publicly. Now, for the first time, we are going to see how much lawmakers make, how much they make from their outside income, from their law firms. We're also going to find out whether they represent clients who have business before the state. That's a huge change. It's something we've always suspected. I mean, last year I did a story about a guy named George Winner, who was a state senator from upstate, who gave an impassioned plea against a hydrofracking moratorium bill. Turned out his law firm had a huge amount of clients who were hydrofrackers. So we're going to be able to tell a lot more of that kind of stuff now, and that always helps.
Have we as citizens been beaten down so much to the point where we celebrate the mere fact that they'll disclose that they're getting maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars in outside income while at the same time getting hundreds of thousands of dollars from taxpayers in some cases to do their jobs? I mean, is there any move to actually limit the amount of money they could make on the outside?
No, not at this point, because again, it is considered a part-time legislature, and so they are allowed to work. Now, what you don't want to see, you want to know whether or not somebody's role on the outside is impacting or poses a conflict of interest with their legislative duties. One of the major things we've seen over the years is the Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, who works for serves as of counsel for a major trial law firm. And Shelley Silver and his house have single-handedly blocked any efforts at tort reform over the years. Well, now we'll be able to see, you know, how much he makes from that law firm, and that makes a difference.
Well, that certainly is something. What about the issue of legislators who've been convicted of crimes yet continue to receive pensions? Has that been addressed?
It has been in a totally Albany way, in that it will, from now on, a judge will have the discretion that if a lawmaker going forward is convicted of a felony related to their job, their official duties, then a judge can either strip or reduce their pensions if a DA seeks that kind of move. However, And again, in total Albany fashion, it will not affect any of the sitting lawmakers. It will only be lawmakers elected after the new law goes into place.
It seems like for all our political tradition of trap votes, well, I guess they have to vote on the whole package. But could you imagine a politician on a straight up or down vote saying, yeah, I'm in favor of convicted politicians getting able to keep their pensions?
It's something they've, but there is actually some of them do make arguments, and what the arguments they've made is that, you know, the family shouldn't necessarily suffer, and that someone's entire career shouldn't necessarily be impacted by a single decision. I think most people in the public would probably disagree with that, but that is the argument on the other side.
Yeah, maybe.
And as part of this bill, the families of the lawmakers will have a be able to appear before the judge and say exactly what it would mean if this pension is stripped.
Right. Maybe they could argue, you know, only 10% of my time was spent on graft, so I should still get 90% of my pension. Let's talk about this joint
committee.
This skepticism, healthy. Let's talk about the 14-member Joint Commission on Public Ethics. Who is going to make up that commission?
Well, I'll tell you, I think this is the most controversial part of the bill, because one thing that this governor and the previous governor, David Paterson, and even Elliot Spitzer before him, who agreed to a much weaker reform bill ultimately, but they all wanted a single body to oversee the ethics of not only the executive branch and the lobbying industry, but also the legislature. Until now, you've had a dual kind of thing where you have, the last couple of years, the Public Integrity Commission overlooking the executive branch and the lobbying industry, and then you had the legislature policing itself with its own Legislative Ethics Commission, where it appointed the members. What the governor had originally wanted was a single body that could, you know, investigate everybody. The legislature was balking for a while, saying, well, there's a separation of powers there. We don't want it to be used basically for political witch hunts. So what they've come up with is a new panel in which it would be a 14-member panel. The governor would appoint 6 members, the legislature 8. But again, this is a total Albany sham in some ways, in that in order to investigate anyone in the legislature, you wouldn't only need a majority vote of the panel, you would need at least 8 votes, but you would also need 2 members of the person you're investigating, 2 members of his party from his house. So in other words, you can have an 11-3 vote, and there would be no investigation.
And Democrats, even if Democrats vote to convict or investigate a Democrat, if they're not Democrats appointed by the legislature, that specific house of the legislature.
Right.
Oh, that's
so like
Byzantine.
If there's an Assembly Democrat who they want to investigate, and you have an 11-3 vote, but 2 of the no votes are Assembly, you know, were appointed by the Assembly Democrats, then they don't move forward with the investigation.
Yeah. So basically, as it works, 14 people on the panel, but if the right 3 people oppose an investigation, or the wrong 3, depending on what you think about it, they could thwart any investigation.
Right. It would be it would basically give the legislative leaders veto power. The good government groups recognize this is a problem, or could be a problem. They say it's the best we can get right now, and they'll monitor how it goes. And in a couple of years, they're going to have to revisit the bill and make recommendations on how to strengthen it. So they're going to watch that part very closely, obviously.
Yeah, and that was my question for how it's being received. You know, the New York Times editorial page called it toothless. The New York Times Straight News reporting was also really skeptical about it. Your newspaper, Bill Hammond, wrote an editorial saying, you know, it's a compromise on the part of Governor Cuomo. But for the most part, the people who spend their lives trying to reform Albany, are they more happy or more disappointed?
I think they are happy. They're happy, especially about the disclosure points. They really like that part of the bill. This, they're taking a more wait and see approach. I think cautiously hopeful, not even optimistic, but hopeful.
All right, Ken Lovett, who is the Albany bureau chief for the Daily News, talking about, I don't know, are the fig leaves in full bloom in Albany? It sounds like a little something is being done. Thank you very much, Ken.
Anytime. Be well.
All right. And in a moment, Felix Salmon takes a look at the economic value of a restaurant review. I'm Mike Pesca in for Brian Lehrer. Stick around.